From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns brings a message entitled, The Witness of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 15, as the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing His disciples for His imminent crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, He promises them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who should be with them in the place of Christ's physical presence. Throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is characterized as a witness. Indeed, as Dr. Cairns will show, He is the impeccable witness, for He is God. In the course of this message, we'll see four aspects of this witness of the Holy Spirit. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, what does a person need to believe to be a Christian? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
When you ask me, what does a person need to believe to be a Christian? You may not realize it, but there are actually two very distinct questions there. What does a person need to believe in order to be saved? What doctrines and truths does a person have to hold in order for other Christians to recognize him as a Christian? Those are two distinct ideas. First, what does the Bible say about being saved? Well, it gives you some answers. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, a person has to believe something about the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, we have the case of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip the evangelist. And when the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he gave what he believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives us the nearest thing to a definition of the gospel when he speaks of Christ dying for our sins according to the scriptures, being buried and rising again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, when you put all these together, you do have really what is an irreducible minimum as to the content of personal saving faith. It recognizes the person of Jesus Christ. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior. He died for our sins. He died an atoning death. He rose again the third day from the dead. He is also the Lord. There is the recognition of Christ and the reception of Christ as Savior from sin and as Lord of the life. Now those are the things that right on the surface of Scripture, the Holy Ghost teaches, are the substance of that belief which lays a hold on Christ for salvation. But of course there are many other things about Christ. And when you ask me, do I recognize this or that person or this or that church or sect to be Christian, I'm going to look at the doctrines of Scripture. People who deny the Bible is the Word of God. People who deny the Holy Trinity. People who deny various of the great doctrines, especially the doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, by the grace of God alone. People who deny these fundamental doctrines, I do not believe have any right for us to recognize them as Christians. But when a person comes to faith in Christ at the very first, it would be wrong for me to set down a whole systematic theology, as it were, and say you've got to learn all that before you come to Christ. No, that's not what the apostles did. They preached Christ, and as people responded in faith, they responded, as I have indicated, what I've called that irreducible minimum or content of saving faith. But saving faith is genuine, living faith, and it will never fail, as that person grows in knowledge and grace, to embrace every fundamental doctrine of the Christian religion.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Reading God's Word this morning in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel 15, verse 26. And we're reading through to chapter 16 and verse 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended.
they shall put you out of the synagogues.
Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you
will think that he doeth God's service.
And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these familiar verses from his precious word. This morning we're returning to the series of messages I commenced some time ago on the general theme, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I am not, this will be apparent to all who have followed me thus far in this series, I am not seeking to deal exhaustively with each subject that I take up. Otherwise, we'd be preaching on the subject of the Holy Spirit for a number of years. It's such a very vast subject. But I'm rather seeking to take one message for each great theme. And as we spend that time on it, look to the Lord to open up that theme to our hearts and to apply it by His grace to each one of us. Now today we're turning to the Word of God to consider the subject, the witness of the Spirit. And I trust to be able to do this in one message. I'm not altogether too certain of that, because it is such a very vast theme in the Word of God. That the Holy Spirit does occupy the office of a witness is something that the Scripture puts beyond all doubt. For instance, in Hebrews 10:15, we read, the Word, the Holy Ghost, is a witness. In Romans 8:16, we read the words, the Holy Spirit beareth witness. In our Bible reading this morning, in John 15 and verse 26, we read the words, He shall testify of me. So the Holy Scriptures place it beyond all doubt that the Spirit of God does occupy the office of a witness from God in this old world. Now the credibility and effectiveness of a witness depends upon certain clear criteria. When you are listening to a witness, the first thing that you want to be assured of is the character of that witness. His personal character is probably going to weigh more heavily than anything else that you can consider.
If, for instance, you are listening to the witness of one who is known to be a habitual liar or a dissolute person, then you are not going to be easily moved, even by a parade of apparent facts from such a witness. The first thing you consider is the personal character of the witness. Then, of course, the second thing you consider is his knowledge, his personal knowledge of the things whereof he witnesses. And the third thing that you'll want to consider is his communication of that knowledge with accuracy and with truth. Now, these are some basic considerations that we give when we are faced with any witness witnessing on any subject. When we apply these criteria, these qualifications of a witness to the Spirit of God, bless God, we can see from Scripture that the Holy Ghost is the best possible witness we can have on the things of God. As to his personal character, as we have seen in one of our earliest studies, he is truly God. The Holy Spirit is not a mere it. The Holy Spirit is not a mere influence. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the everlasting Trinity. He is as truly God as God the Father and as God the Son. He is as truly personal and perfect as God the Father and as God the Son. His personal character assures us of the credibility of his witness. As to his knowledge, the Scriptures say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a passage that we'll be looking at in more detail in weeks to come, that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And Paul is making the point that the spirit of a man is that within the man which knows about that man. When it comes to the things of God, it is the Holy Spirit who searches the deep things of God. There is not a depth in the infinity of God, but that the infinite Spirit of God searches that depth. As to his knowledge, he is the perfectly qualified witness. Bless God, as to his accuracy and his truth. The Lord Jesus, in our Bible reading, calls him by the title, the Spirit of Truth. There is not a shadow of falsehood in anything that the Spirit of God communicates. When he gave his church the Bible, he gave his church an inspired Bible, not a patchwork of human documents sewn together by the best literary skills of human geniuses. No, sir, he gave them a word that was breathed from heaven, inspired to its finest details. There is no lack of truth or accuracy in the witness of the Spirit. He is the perfect witness. So today we're going to look at the witness of the Spirit. As I have said, it's a fairly extensive and expansive doctrine in the Word of God. And I think, unfortunately, because of similarity of language and lack of discernment, many Christians and indeed many preachers are led to jumble the Word of God in a way that is certainly not particularly beneficial. When we look at the subject of the witness of the Spirit, We may consider it in the following ways. We may try to get it into a manageable shape and size. Something like this. I think we could say that the Scripture speaks of the witness of the Spirit to the people of God. God's witness to the Christian. Then the Scriptures speak in Romans chapter 8 verse 16 of the Spirit's witness with the Christian. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Then the Scriptures speak of the Spirit's witness in the Christian. And finally, and very, very importantly, the Scriptures speak of the Spirit's witness through the Christian.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.